Ghosts are everywhere.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, France.
Ooh. Hi, France.
Hi, France. I was trying to say
just said.
France.
Like, hi, France, friends. Specifically.
But I actually am only saying hello to France today because we have so many fans in France.
Bonjour to the monde.
To the monde. Bonjour.
Bonjour. Oh, this is the show that you tuned into.
Ghosts are everywhere.
That's right. I'm Carly.
I'm Cecilia.
And this is a show we like to call Ghosts Song Part 2.
Les Fantômes.
Yes, Les Fantômes Song Part 2. Regarde Les Fantômes.
Regarde.
Ils sont partout.
Merci beaucoup for listening. We love you. This is a special episode.
Oh, you know
it
is.
Isn't it, Carly?
Yeah, it's special. I mean, I would argue every episode of ours is special, but I'd argue that this episode is specialer than most.
It is because extra special
because we are joined for the very first time in a long time by a super special guest. And it's this guest's first time on the podcast. And we'll hold for this guest.
She's leaving.
She loves us so much.
She goes to everywhere first. Our ghost, we started to introduce her and she just left. She's already left
before we've introduced who she is. That's never happened before, but we love a first. What, 40 episodes? 140 episodes?
We love a first. A walkout. We didn't need to say anything about her. She didn't need to say anything and she just walked.
I know. It's our first official walkout. I'm so proud of us. We've done it. That's how we know we've made it, Cecilia.
That is how we know we've made it.
We've actually showed up in someone's, I forgot to tell you this. We showed up in one of our listeners' Spotify. What's the thing?
Oh, like their Spotify Rewind best of the year.
We showed up in someone's Spotify Rewind as one of their top five podcasts.
That's so cute. Did they share it with us? I didn't see it.
Yeah, I'll send it to you.
Oh my
Pal of the Pod, Rebecca Gondosh. We showed up in their like top five podcasts they listened to for Spotify Rewind.
I love that.
So that's how we know we've made it.
Oh my God,
I mean, we didn't even show up in my Spotify Rewind, but we showed up in Rebecca's, so that's how we know it's the real deal.
Number one fan. Thank you,
Number
Rebecca.
One fan. Another,
well, our guest is back. What were you going to say?
Our guest has returned.
Our guest has returned.
Speaking of big fans, our guest has returned. And I believe this is the first also unwalkout on Ghost Everywhere.
We had a walkout and then we had to come right on back with bigger headphones.
I love it. The dedication of this guest is the highest it could be. Mm-hmm. Without further ado, we have with us the one, the only, the remarkable, the excellent friend, the wonderful podcaster in her own right, the own wonderful theater maker in her own right, artist of many hats and many talents, the one, the only, Laura Welch, everybody. Welcome, Laura Welch! Whoop, whoo!
Oh, no, I can't hear her.
We can't hear her, but we can see her.
And she was looking real spooky.
She's doing spooky ghost noises.
She's
but
doing
really
the most.
That's how good she was at them. We could see them. We couldn't hear them because she was being an actual ghost. See, she's an incredible actor. I meant it when I said it.
Feel
she's
it.
Very talented. Hear you.
Oh,
now we can.
Now we can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I gave you a little. I think a little boo action and hello.
I love it.
Okay.
I love it.
It's a ghost podcast, so.
She came prepared. She said, oh, y'all want a ghost? I'll bring him.
She brought the ghost. She came on her A game.
Yeah. Hi, Laura.
Hi. Hello.
Welcome.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm glad that you guys were able to roll along, even though I had to make my little exit.
Hey, loved it. It was a first for us. We've never
It was our
had
first
walk
ever
off.
Walkout.
It was incredible.
I almost ghosted you.
You
literally.
I didn't.
But then you came back. First ever return.
I'm leaning really heavily into the ghost motif right now.
I love that for us and for you.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Here we go.
Woohoo.
We're doing it.
We're doing it. We're doing it. This is so exciting. Folks who are listeners of many podcasts might remember Laura from one of the spookier episodes of our sister podcast before there were hashtags, for she did an excellent episode last Guestmas, actually, which was spookier than Guestmas. It was about Ava Perone. It took a bit of a spooky turn, which is really funny because Laura's not the spookiest lady. No, but she does love Ava Perone.
No, not at all.
You're not a spookster. Yeah.
We can get that out of the way. Yeah,
not a spookster. Yeah. No, no, I'm not really. I would say the best thing about that podcast episode was when Eric started telling me about how famous Ava Perone's dead body was and how it had more of a life than she did in some ways. And I liked that I was able to experience that real time with the listeners of the pod. That was fun. That was good. But yeah, no, not really a spookster. I watched my first like thriller movie recently with my boyfriend. And
what did you watch?
What did you watch?
I watched two movies. I watched Stir of Echoes and I don't remember. There was something. It was some like village movie. M. Night Shyamalan.
Was it The Village?
It was The Village, I think. It was got the red and the yellow.
Some village movie.
Some village movie. It's The Village.
Yeah,
I love that. Some village movie.
Yeah, it was good. I wasn't scared. I wasn't scared.
It really stuck with you. Yeah. Some village movie.
Yeah, yeah. it was good. It was good. But I would say, like, growing up, just my imagination would go too wild, even just from commercials of movies, that I just thought maybe it wasn't a good idea for me to watch the actual things because the commercials made me lose sleep for years. So
that's how I felt when I was a kid too, though. Like, I just wouldn't watch scary things because I'd watch, the commercials, the trailers, and I'd just be like, this is the scariest thing I've ever seen, and it's just the trailer. I cannot watch this. This is going to haunt me forever. But the thing is that the trailers just lean so heavily on the scary that then you watch the actual movie and you're like, oh, this isn't that bad.
Well, because there's way more story behind the scary when you watch the whole movie.
It's not usually just like, in the trailer, jump scare.
Yeah, they're just trying to give you the jump scares. And also, I'd argue that jump scares, when we were growing up, were so overused that they were so scary all the time, and that I think jump scares are stupid. Now, still watching, they scary can be movies. Fun. Well, if they're used well,
I mean,
or if they're used funny, then I like it.
It's not necessarily a surprise that like I'm bothered by. I'm really bothered by like a feeling of creep. Like something's not right and you can't tell what it is. That really bothers me.
So maybe I like that then.
Yeah,
because I like that
that's
too.
The good part. Yeah,
yeah.
No,
I don't like the gore of it. Yeah, and I don't like the cheap scares, but I do like the suspense.
Yeah, I don't like, I'm not a big gore fan. I think the cheap scares are sometimes fun.
If they're funny, I'll do it. But
yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem with blood so much. I don't love torture.
Oh yeah, that sucks.
It feels bad. I'm thinking about trying to get myself to watch more scary movies, particularly like a goal movie for me is Silence of the Lambs. Because I hear my gosh, the acting is so great.
Yeah, I feel like you should just do it. Just
for the filmmaking alone and the acting, you can do it. I think you could do Silence of the Lambs.
I don't know. Part of it is so scared of Buffalo Bill. But I watched the movie Disclosure, which was really great, and they had some clips of Buffalo Bill, and I was like, okay, I think I could probably do it. And they
Have to watch it. Like during the day, all the lights on, like watch it with your boyfriend or like a friend.
Have some good snacks, then you'll be good.
But how do you feel about like watching a spooky, scary movie not in October? Like it just, I don't know.
I watch them all the time.
All the time. Yeah.
Really?
We have a spooky podcast that we do year round.
It doesn't make sense.
Every week, Laura.
Well, I mean, do you watch Christmas movies all year long? Like, it for me, spook feels like so October.
Yeah. Christmas is for December. Spooky season is all the time.
It's for forever.
Yeah. Like October, you can really lean into it. And then I'll like exclusively watch like scary movies. But the rest of the year, you can sprinkle them in.
Well, I don't, like personally, I don't watch like fall spooky movies in any other time than fall. Like I'm not going to pull up like, I don't know, what's like a really fall one?
Like Halloween.
Yeah, like that's for Halloween. Sleepy Hollow. But I would watch like other other things throughout the year that are spooky.
A lot of scary movies are not specifically autumnal as well. Like you have like
a lot of summer ones.
Like Friday the 13th is like a summer camp.
Yeah.
Other ones are just like, yeah, summery. Cabin in the Woods. So many of them are summery.
Yeah. There's some, and there's some like Christmassy ones too. Like there's honestly, I'd argue ones for every season.
There are ones for every season.
So I wouldn't watch them in the wrong season.
We were just talking about that.
Yeah.
You know, for so long I was like, why? Why would anyone want to scare themselves? Like it just seems like a horrible thing to do. Feel so bad and you never sleep. But I was having a conversation last year with someone who didn't like watching sad movies. And I was like, that makes no sense. Like sad movies help you contextualize grief and all these things in your life, and it's important to be able to feel sad, and you can't just feel happy all the time. You need to be able to feel sad. And I was talking to my boyfriend Jeff, who is infinitely wise, even though he's so humble about everything, and he was just like, yeah, but you won't watch scary movies. Like fear is an emotion. Why is sadness more valid than fear to step into and explore? And I was like, oh God, that's a really good point. So,
and something about like scary movies is when you watch something that you know is going to be scary, you kind of have like control over it. You're like, okay, I'm ready. I'm prepared. I embraced. I'm watching something scary. It's not like you're just like going out in the world and like, maybe something scary could happen. It's like, okay, I'm doing it. I have control over this.
Yeah. I don't know. And also like I'm also a big fan of things like true crime, and I know Cecilia that filters over for her sometimes too. And like I like these things because at the core of them, no matter what, if it takes me to be afraid to get through it, that's fine. At the core of it all, it's all goes back to like a story that needs to be told. And a lot of times, like at least for true crime and scary things, is like there's a lot of women at the center of these stories. There's a lot of just like other folks at the center of these stories, which is also a thing that we've found in a lot of our ghost stories through the years, is that it's certain communities a lot of times that these stories come out of, or you know, are at the center of it. And like that's scary, but that's also life. But sometimes it's fun to see, not fun, but like sometimes it's really interesting to process that through art. It's like anything else. Like exactly
but
what
so
you said.
So many horror movies have female protagonists.
Yeah.
I mean, I think conversely, like for me, I don't love true crime because so often the center of the like who's being the victim of the story, the person who's getting murdered or scared, is like so often like a woman. And I feel so vulnerable in the world. I wish I didn't. Like I'm always just afraid of like assault and being like taken in the gas station, filling up my car at night. Like I feel unusually scared, and I know lots of people are much braver than I am, but I worry that if I watch true crime, I will feel more scared than I already am.
Yeah,
because it is showing often like the worst case scenario and something that's probably not going to happen to you.
Yeah,
but that is something about true crime that people will listen to it so much and be like, well, this is definitely going to happen to me. Like, I just have to be always on edge and like fearful and just like never talk to strangers, never trust anybody, because there is that like off chance that something terrible might happen, which is what I don't like.
I don't
about
talk
true crime.
To strangers on a train because of Hitchcock, but
what if you make a great friend?
Not on a train, I won't. On a train, I won't.
Trains are nice.
No strangers on a train. But I for me, true crime, watching a lot of true crime and things, it does the opposite. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it does that. But sometimes, most of the time, I'd argue, it does the opposite, where it like lets me sit with these stories and go, okay, if this is the worst that can happen, that's the worst that can happen. That's awful. But let me bear witness and let me go. Okay. And then it makes me go, but that won't happen. You know, it's kind of the opposite. For me, but it depends on the day. Depends on the day too. Because some days it's like, let more of this. And some days it's like, no, I just want to watch something, turn my brain off and have a giggle, you know? Just because we're spooky bitches doesn't mean we're spooky bitches 24/7.
Like, yeah.
Speak for yourself.
Well, I feel like I feel more open to exploring spooky things now that I know that I sleep in a bed with someone every night who I I know I like can bother all night if I'm scared, like
who's like strong and can fight the bad guys if they're bad guys.
I just feel a lot better about exploring that. When I lived alone, that was like, no, we're not going there. And I can't do the, I felt like I couldn't do true crime because I was like, I need to be able to trust people in my life. Like if I can't trust people and can't trust strangers to some degree, like I already come from such like a risk averse household and like family that I don't need to be more afraid of the world. But you know, I think also there's something to be said for building your window of tolerance for what you're afraid of.
I growing up, my parents would call me would call me chicken shit. I was just afraid of it. I'd be afraid of everything. Like I wouldn't want to, because compared to my sister who's like a year and a half younger than me, she would like climb to the tallest tree and I'd like climb to like the first branch and I'd be like, that's enough for me. Like just like she would swing big, take big risks, and I would just be like, I'm good, I take some but I'm good now. Like, and so they would call me chicken shit, and I grew up like afraid of a lot of horror things, and it didn't come into it until an older age. But also looking back, I always did kind of have a penchant for spooky things. Like a little bit, like I'd watch like Creepy Canada and I'd watch like Kid Ghost Hunters and I'd be like, these kids can hang, like, you know, things that like are scary at the right level. Yeah, not like I wasn't like watching like Saw at like in grade five, you know, like that was, you know, when I went to a sleepover in like grade seven and we watched Final Destination, I covered my eyes, like, you know, like things like that, like but I think
for both of us it was kind of like, we're not gonna watch scary movies because
they're scary,
but we would like, I don't know, like we both loved Halloween, or like every time we had to write a short story for anything, I'd be like, well, I'm going to write it about a haunted house.
Same. Yeah. It's just like how much you can handle. And I think that changes for people through time. Totally.
Yeah. Well, I also think like a lot of the typical things that people in real life feel scared about, like some of the big ones, like the major ones that are on the lists of people's biggest fears, like, not really afraid of public speaking, especially if I can prepare. Not really afraid of death, mainly because I tell people I love them like all the time. So I'm like, I'm good if I die. Like, they know I love them. It's fine. Yeah. I had a good life. Like, or
don't
like
have any unfinished business.
Yeah. Or like, you know, people get really scared of like what it will be like to be around someone who's dying, the experience of grief. Like, I'm not afraid of grief. I've spent a lot of time with people who have been dying. Like, I've always felt at peace with like not loving scary stuff, because I felt like the things that were the biggest, scariest things in real life that would actually happen to everybody, that I felt comfortable with them. And so I felt, in a way, I feel like braver than most people, because a lot of people are scared like little chicken shits about death and stuff like that. So
people really do be chicken shits about death. I'm into it. I'm like, death is everywhere, baby. Let it in a little. It's totally normal, and the one thing death we all know,
ghosts are everywhere,
baby. It's in the title. So how else are you gonna get a ghost? Speaking of ghosts, we do have some questions for you, Laura.
Please.
Now that we're in the mood, we're in the pocket, I feel.
We're in it. We're in the spooky vibes. We're thinking about this.
Keeping it rolling. Our first official question is, do you believe in ghosts?
No, I do not believe in ghosts. Mm. Part of it is I don't think it would be healthy for me to believe in ghosts because my imagination is really intense. Mm-hmm. My family, so my mom's a psychologist and my dad's an astrophysicist. They're both like pretty heavily science fact oriented. And so like I have a very strong skepticism for a lot of that stuff. Yes, I did think that I saw a ghost once, which was I woke up in the middle of the night, like 3 a.m. and there was a lady at the end of my bed, and I like reached out and swiped at her and she went away. And I was like, well, shoot, that's scary. And I don't believe in ghosts, but what was that? And I remember going on Facebook and finding anyone who was online on Facebook. And I was like, I found this guy, his name was Maxim. He went to theater school with me. And he was like, at the time he was working at Medieval Times.
This story is so iconic.
And, I remember going to Maxim and I was like, listen, I need to talk to you. I think I just saw a ghost. I don't want you to tell me ghosts are real. And I think I need you to tell me that ghosts are not real and that there's a good explanation for this and that I'm safe to go to bed. And I just need you to tell me that. Like, had very strong boundaries about what I wanted the communication to be.
Yeah.
And he was like, it's fine. Ghosts aren't real. You're safe. And he said it like 3 or 4 times. And I was like, okay, this person is a knight. I believe them. I can go to sleep. It's good. So that was my one ghost.
I love that your reasoning is this person is a knight.
He's a knight. He's been knighted by the good folks at Medieval Times.
He cannot lie. He cannot tell a lie. He is a knight.
He's a knight.
So it's legit. Laura, something I so admire about you is that you're someone who's so clear with what they need in their boundaries. I'm obsessed that you, in the middle of the night, waking up to seeing something very strange, went, this is what I need you to tell me, and that's it. And then they did, and you were like, okay, this is a night. Good night.
Also that you just decided for yourself, you're like, this is not real. I cannot believe this. Tell me it's not real,
please. You're so strong-willed, Laura. I love it so much.
Thank you. I mean, usually when I would have nightmares, my like go-to was to look at old kids' books, like the ones that my mom would read me to go to sleep. Mm-hmm. And so like my go-to when I would have nightmares was Grover Sleeps Over.
Oh my God. That's cute.
It's about like Grover going over to a sleepover at a girl's house. But they're like young. So it's
Grover.
Fine.
Okay.
Grover's going to a boy-girl party.
Good for him. Yeah.
And he's like trying to pack his like whole house because he doesn't know what to bring to sleepover because he's never been to a sleepover before. Aww. So he's like, should I pack my nightlight? Should I pack my blueberry crunch? Should I pack? And his mom's like reassuring him the whole time, like, they'll probably have cereal there and they'll probably have such and such. And then he goes over and his friend wants to tell scary ghost stories, which is one of the things that Grover was afraid about when he was talking to his mom. And his friend asks consent before she starts telling him about ghosts. Mm. He's like, I'd rather not. And she's like, okay, we don't have to.
Oh, so his worry was he didn't be worried about it.
Wow. Teaching kids lessons.
Wow. Yeah.
That's educational. So
nice. And he has a great time at the sleepover. He wants to go back again. It's
I love that. Good of course Tyler. It is. That sounds like the best time.
Mm-hmm. Highly recommend. Pick it up at your local bookstore.
Grover Sleeps Over.
Is it Grover Sleeps Over? We'll put a link in the bio.
Don't tempt me. I will. Grover Sleeps Over. That's so fun.
So when do you think you were first introduced to the idea of ghosts? Like you said, your parents are very like science-y. Do you think either of them believe in ghosts, or do you have any like family ghost stories, or was it more of like a media or like friends thing?
No. So definitely my parents do not believe in ghosts. Definitely not. By the way, the ghost that I saw, I talked to my mom about it in the morning. She's like, that's the thing that can happen actually when you wake up from REM sleep, mm-hmm. is your brain, if it was in the middle of dreaming something, can actually hallucinate. It's called a hypnagogic hallucination. She's like, that's probably what happened. And I was like, nice. Science.
We should have your mom on the podcast to like just explain all of our ghost stories to us.
I would love that.
Yeah, I mean, my dad also would have stuff to say about that too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
That's so, well, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. Like your brain is cooking up, like our brains when they're asleep are wild. They're cooking up so much. Like they work way harder when we're asleep than they do when we're awake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But to answer your question, Cecilia, I don't know. I feel like probably Halloween time, I would see like mm-hmm. ghosts as decorations and be like, what's that? And also Casper was out when I was younger. Mm-hmm. Do I have family ghost stories? I mean, Carly knows about a family ghost thing that I think I might write a play about. But there was a disappearance of a woman in my family.
Ooh.
And it was suspicious. And it actually went around the world in terms of like was reported in the news around the world. And everyone was like, whoa. But turns out she was doing some bad stuff. And she, that's all I can say right now.
Yeah. Laura wants to hold it a little close to the chest because she says maybe she's writing a play. She's definitely writing a play because I'm going to make her. So,
so you just have to hold it for the play to hear the story.
Yeah. We'll tell the listeners later.
Mm-hmm. We'll have you back when you put up the play.
Yeah.
There you go.
A little spoiler.
It's a little like how mm-hmm. I wanted to hold. I held on to Ambrose Small for like almost mm-hmm. a year. Mm-hmm. I didn't tell you about it at all because I wanted to do it for the live show. And mm-hmm. now I want to write a musical about it.
Yeah.
So I let the cat out of the bag. So. Laura, don't. But it's a good one.
Hold that cat close.
Keep it inside the bag at all times until we're ready. So you said you, I think you gave us the fastest no we've ever had on TV.
I think
ghosts,
so.
Which I really love and appreciate. And so my question to you is what kind of proof would you need to believe in ghosts? Like for sure. Or to like, yeah. What kind of
to be
proof
less
would you need
skeptical
to be
to
less
not give
skeptical?
Such a fast no.
Yeah. Like, what could unfast your no? Like, what kind of proof would you need to unfast your no? Do you think there's no proof?
I don't think there's proof.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's any like good explanations for. Mm-hmm. Why we don't see them all the time if they're there.
Mm-hmm.
Like millions and bajillions of people have died.
Mm-hmm.
And probably
millions and bajillions.
Millions and bajillions.
Yeah. Like, I just don't know. Some people see them, some people don't. Mm-hmm. I had an ex-boyfriend who said he saw demons all the time. And I was like, uh-huh. And I was like, I know there's not demons, but he was like,
chill.
Not chill at all.
So he's like, wait, we're not all seeing demons all the time?
Yeah, this is the same ex-boyfriend who like told my dad that he didn't believe in science. My dad was like,
your dad was like, what do I do with this? I can't do anything with this.
My astrophysicist was his father.
You were just acting out. You were like, ooh, I finally found a boy who doesn't believe in science.
You're like, take that.
Take that, dad.
Oh, no.
Science isn't real. Oh no.
Very cringy. I mean, that was my yoga phase. So.
Okay.
Yeah. He was a big yoga guy. I don't know. It's, I don't think there's anything, unless I saw one for myself, I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
And
so if you saw one for yourself, do you think that would do anything? Cause you said you saw a lady at the end of your bed that didn't do anything for you.
Yeah. I mean,
right.
Yeah. I do believe that the brain especially in tired states, can make up all kinds of stuff. We know that hallucinations are a thing. Like, when people are high, sometimes they see things that aren't there. Like, I just, I don't know.
So you think that, the brain shows us different things at different times, but that doesn't mean that what we're seeing is what is happening.
Yeah, and it's like, they're like UFOs for me. Like, ghosts and UFOs, it's like, people think they see them, but then you actually talk to, like, a scientist, and they have explanations for why things might have happened.
Yeah.
You know?
What is there, what's the science reason for people seeing UFOs? I guess there's different ones for different cases, but...
Yeah, I mean, like, tricks of light related to atmosphere, and maybe they're seeing it through a lens, and there's some sort of like weird thing in the lens, or maybe it's, I don't know. If my dad was on here, he'd be like, well, this and this and this and
he
this,
so many
like
reasons.
I mean, one thing I'm very passionate about is not having conspiratorial thinking. I mean, partially because I was really into yoga, and the person I was with was way more into yoga than I was, and they like believed all kinds of conspiracies and like
didn't believe in science,
saw demons everywhere, and like, I don't know, I just feel like so many times in my life I have been so close to the edge of like being a part of a cult, or like having culty experiences, or around people who are like stretching their brains in certain ways. And someone said once to me, I think this was so brilliant. They said, don't be so open-minded that your brain falls out.
That's really good advice, actually.
Yeah. I mean,
well, it's something we've seen with like COVID and like QAnon and all this shit, is like, if you're super open to all these things, you're gonna start believing some fucked up shit.
I definitely was seeing how QAnon was kind of infiltrating the yoga world, which is mainly why I've stopped teaching publicly. I think conspiratorial thinking and magical thinking, I mean, Carly and I have a good relationship with this, because, you know, Carly, like, you like to have fun with, like, mysticism and magicalness and ghosts, and, like, I, in some ways, I admire your ability to have fun with it, but, like, it's just so not where I'm at. I'm, like, I feel very compelled by, like, the magic of, like, what it means to be in a theater and people experiencing things together and like their heartbeats syncing. Like, that feels like really magic to me, or like the ability for us to like connect on deep levels, to feel, to empathize. Like, for me, that's the stuff of magic, and it's almost unbelievable because it's so wonderful, that I just don't know why we need to make up other stuff.
I probably sound really closed-minded.
No,
you don't. You sound, from what I'm taking away from what you're saying, is you're like, there's already so much here. Why are we inventing more? There's already so many wild and wonderful things that are going on. Why are we adding extra like possibility that may or may not be true? But it doesn't matter if it's true. There's already so much here. Why are we greedy grubby hands grabbing at more?
There's like those weird lantern fish at the bottom of the ocean. That's so crazy. Or like you know, light echoes or all kinds of planetary stuff that actually exists. Like, we know it exists in science. Or there's like some like, I think it's a relativity theory where like, but basically
you can like, try if we, someone we goes to help you, but you can try.
If two people go out into space and one of them like goes further and turns around, if their clocks are set to the same amount of time based on how far they travel, one of them is older, even though they're like, they've passed the same amount of time. I don't know I don't know why that is. I cannot explain it. It makes me actually quite angry when I've heard people try to explain it to me. But there are scientific things and artistic things and relational things that are so majestic, exciting. Yeah,
that feels so otherworldly already.
Yeah, almost unknowable in a way. Like, yeah, I think life's such a big miracle.
Hey, I'm with you.
You know? And yeah. I often think that when we make up a lot of stuff, not just for the project of like imagination and fun, but when we make, I feel nervous about people making up stuff and peddling stuff that is maybe not real, because there's often ulterior motives, right? Like,
yeah.
I'm watching The Vow right now, which is the NXIVM documentary.
Speaking of
peddling ulterior motives.
Yeah.
Making people believe things.
Big time.
It is, like, absolutely a thing, like, with any of these sort of supernatural or, I don't know, magical things, that it is so easy to manipulate people with it if you do convince them that it's real, which, like, I think both of us are very skeptical and will never be like 100% yes, we believe in ghosts. It's always like, maybe. It's more of like an open-mindedness to the idea of it and to people believing in it. But I think it is important to have a little bit of skepticism so you don't just get like sucked in and like 100% just, yes, this is a thing and I'll believe whoever will like tell me that this is real and like back me up on this idea.
And I think it also depends a little on how we're defining like a ghost, because we didn't talk about that real quick, but like Cecilia and I will, it sounds like we're 140 episodes in, it sounds like we'll forever be on the fence, because that's who we are. Because we're open to the idea of entertaining it, especially because one of the things that we consider possibly what a ghost could be is like residual collective memory of something that later affects a group of people or a place or a, you know, just like this, because in a way we've talked about this a bunch, but the stories we tell ourselves then shape our future sometimes. So if something remains of like, say, a big incident that happens in a certain community, a certain time, and if that shapes how things move forward, then that is kind of a ghost of that, of whatever happened there and then. So it, that for sure, in my mind, is real. Like that, we see it all the time.
Agreed.
Like, but it does a ghost necessarily mean all the time that it's like a person who has died, who is staking around in between the world? Like, I don't know, you know? So that to me sounds like where you draw the hard line for what a ghost is.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you that like, even when people are not on this plane anymore, you know, when they're dead, in the ground or whatever, however they die or whatever the circumstances, I really do believe that all the interactions that they've had, the relationships they've felt, all those things carry on. Like there are remnants that from any action or any relationship. And so like, I think growing up, my dad really tried to imbue me with a lot of like skeptical atheist values. And I, you know, I was asking him about like, but how do you feel comfortable with like just dying and there not being anything? And he was like, if I can't know that there's something after death, then I have to make the time that I'm here and the relationships and the actions that I have while I'm here meaningful, valuable. And this idea that like there is so much magic in the world, he talked about, you know, looking at the stars throughout his career and just being in absolute awe of the vastness of space. There's so much to be gained from the past, from history, from the ghosts of things that have happened, in like a metaphorical sense. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel good about that.
Nice.
Which so sounds I like it is, it's a more valuable way to like view life, like being like, I'm gonna enjoy myself and like be fulfilled now versus like what a lot of, like the Catholic version of it that I was kind of raised with, not 100%, but like you should suffer now and like live your life like perfectly so that you can be fulfilled in the afterlife, which if you're, we're not like 100% sure that there's going to be an afterlife unless you like really, really believe in that. But I think it's more valuable to like, I don't know, live all your life.
I mean, why not?
We're here. Enjoy yourself. Might as well hang out and have a giggle.
Yeah. Like,
why not?
That's real. We know that's real.
It's as real as anything that we know, which who knows what we know, you know?
Yeah.
I was talking to my mom and her friend today. And her friend maybe wants to do piano lessons, but is afraid of maybe taking them because she's getting older and like,
no,
like her hands are deteriorating. No. Her hands are deteriorating a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I told her this story about how I watched this Netflix comedy special, where someone describes that they have their one and only butthole. And
wait, which and special is this?
I don't remember, but
is it Taylor Tomlinson?
It's possible. It could be also Ali Wong. Like,
oh, I'm gonna look it up because I'm having a collective memory that I've also seen this bit. But keep going.
Yeah, and I found it really profound to think about the one and only butthole because it made me think. Yeah, I do only have this one and only butthole, and the phrase comes from this one and only life. But we hear this one and only life so often that it's kind of lost its meaning. Mm-hmm. So for me, like this one and only butthole, like I really do feel like, yeah, it's the only one I have, and I try to think about that with my life, but mm-hmm. from the perspective of how I feel about buttholes. Anyway, my mom and her friend were like,
they were like, okay, great.
Like, where are you going with this? Buttholes?
Yeah, but like, yeah, it just, one and only life has lost its meaning a little bit. Mm-hmm. But it really, you know, is important.
It is.
You have this one and only butthole.
You only have one butthole and you've gotta take care of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yeah, get a tushy. Get one of those bidets. They're awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I was put that in the bio. Oh, get it.
Get a tushy. Yeah. My parents just bought them and I'm like, So do you, I know you don't like scary things, but do you have any favorite spooky like movies or shows or music or anything?
Well, yeah. So I mean, I love the Monster Mash. Of course. I think it's a graveyard smash.
We're big fans over here.
We're big fans. We highly agree.
No, we're Monster Mash fans.
Yeah. I think it's bop. Mm-hmm. I would also cycle in October through my spooky musicals. Mm-hmm. So that would be my time for Sweeney Todd. That would be my time for Rocky Horror. What are some other spooky ones?
Little Shop.
Yes, Little Shop. Yeah. And I'd only listen to them that time of year.
Do you watch like Nightmare Before Christmas or like?
Was not a fan as a child. No, I have watched it since. I think Rocky Horror is the main thing.
Mm-hmm.
Love.
And Rocky honestly, Horror. Like, still gives me a little spooky dookie vibes. Like, especially like the shot of Frankenfurter when you come up to the lab and
when you see what's on the slab.
exactly but there's like a shot of Frankenfurter standing with their feet together, mm-hmm. and like totally still with their like hands kind of crossed, and they've got the nurse scrubs and the like, oh, there's something about the look on Frankenfurter's face and like the way that shot is cropped.
Freaks
spooky.
You out.
Spooky.
Love that.
Yeah.
Love that. Do you have a favorite spooky place? Maybe somewhere you like to go in the fall time? That like just gives you the feeling that you're like, yes, this is correct?
No.
There's nowhere. You're like, none of these places.
She doesn't want to be spooked.
A pox on your house.
Like, I don't. None of this. I don't seek out spook. Like, no. But, I have some, like, weird things that spook me that sometimes I indulge in.
Ooh.
One of them, it's such a weird thing. One of them is, so, you know, when you're watching a movie and you're just watching the movie and then halfway through someone talks to the camera for the first time, or like at the end of the movie, like for me, the most famous one is like Atonement. Like you've watched the whole thing and then, can I give a spoiler for this?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. It's been out for years.
Spoiler alert for Atonement. If you don't want to hear, fast forward.
Yeah. So like Vanessa Redgrave comes on and she's like, yeah, what you thought happened, that didn't actually happen. Like, I just want to vomit. Like
everything you think you know
is a lie.
Real. I hate it.
Also, we've been watching you get wrecked.
Yeah, no, it's like a weird thing, like where you are a voyeur and then someone calls you on being a voyeur.
Acknowledge it.
Yeah.
Which doesn't, I don't think that really happens in theater because there's an acknowledgement from both parties that you're like,
we're all doing the thing.
You're doing the thing where you're watching them and blah blah. But something about the privacy of like being in your own home and like someone like looking out at you.
That's so funny.
So you're,
I think,
terrified,
you should...
of Deadpool.
Oh, well, that's like long established through the whole movie, right?
Yes.
So
I'm not afraid of Ferris Bueller. Yeah. Like,
oh, that's such a good use of that. Ferris Bueller is so good.
Yeah, but like, I don't like the alternate ending thing, like Life of Pi, like when they're like, that's not what happened. I'm like,
yeah. See, you really should talk to Cecilia's partner, Joel, because he also feels this way.
He hates it.
Hates it. He feels so cheated.
I hate Clue as well. Twist.
Betrayed. Yeah.
You hate Clue?
Yeah, there's multiple endings. I
love
that. It.
I love Choose Your Own. Choose Your Own Adventure.
I could die. I hate it.
You just want to know what's happening. You don't want the rug pulled out from under you.
Don't lie to me. Yeah, I don't want to be lied to. No, thank you.
Yeah, you should talk to Joel.
Waste my time.
Talk to Joel. Yeah. I've had the same conversation twice now in the past month. Once with each of you. You need to talk to one another so you can feel reassured.
All right.
Because Cecilia and I are not the best audience.
Like, we're both like,
but we're both like, it's fine. You'll be fine.
And he's like, no, they lied to me. I was tricked.
I was so tricked.
I don't like it. I've been bamboozled.
Don't watch. What's the cave movie, Cecilia? We'll tell Laura not to watch
it. The Descent.
Yeah, don't watch The Descent. You won't. A, it's spooky, but B, mostly, you'll feel tricked.
You get a little rug pull, you don't like it.
I don't like that. I mean, I wasn't bothered by the trick ending at the end of The Village. I was like,
M. Night does a trick.
M. Night always does a trick. Yeah, he kind of sets it up from the beginning, though. It's less of a rug pull and more of a like, yes. But,
it's all come together.
With him, it's often more... at least I feel like it's like, it's more like, yes, I get it. And not, whoa, I've been tricked.
Yeah. Less of a like,
Because sometimes it does feel cheap. It feels like they're just trying to like mess with you.
Yeah, I agree with that. But also sometimes it's good. Sometimes I'm like, oh, okay, I got it. Like,
what?
Spooky dookie.
Yeah,
that's so funny. Something that I think is interesting, Laura, I don't know if you agree with or not, is we don't see a lot of like spooky in theater. Why do you think that is? Like, we see it, but not as much as everything else. I just don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it's because the theater patrons are like old, white-haired white people.
Sure.
Which I don't think a lot of them have a real penchant for scariness.
Horror isn't seen as like elevated. Like, even now you see horror movies not being appreciated by
yeah,
the Academy.
That's true.
The awards.
Yeah.
So they're seen more as like a silly, like schlocky kind of entertainment thing. Instead of like film or theater.
Yeah.
That's funny because some of the best film I've seen has been horror. I think absolutely. Like some of the most thoughtful, most put together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
works hardest, you know?
I'm starting to appreciate, like, I'm interested in filmmaking and, you know, being able to set up all the different parts of what make up a film to set up something that feels scary. Mm-hmm. That's very deliberate. And I'm interested in that in a way, like, having been on like a few sets now that like are more like horror sets, that's been helpful for me.
I was going to say, how's that been going?
Yeah, it's okay. Cause good. I see exactly how the sausage is made.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not scary when you're making the sausage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh gosh, I had something else to say. What was the question again?
Oh, why do you think we don't see as much horror in theater? As in other mediums.
I do also think like part of it is like people are trying to escape a lot of the time. Like
when they go to the theater specifically.
Yeah. I did see probably the scariest thing I saw on stage was a play in Chicago. I do not remember what it was. But it was at like a small black box theater, and the play was about postpartum depression, and specifically postpartum psychosis. And there was a scene in the small black box, I can't say black box theater, the small black box theater, where like the audience was literally right at the lip of the stage and on the same level. And the setting was like someone's house. So you're like almost right in their living room, and the mother who is struggling with the postpartum psychosis, she steps around the corner with a knife. And I was so tangibly scared in that moment, and I almost didn't go back after intermission because it was so unsettling.
Yeah.
To be in a space where someone was unpredictable.
Sure. Yeah. It was so intimate that you were like, oh no, could the action take me down with it? Yeah.
I feel like if there's a real feeling of danger for me and my physical body, like that, because you're in an actual space with someone,
right?
Then that's no longer fun for me. Like,
if I
know I'm gonna like, if I could potentially be in danger in a physical way, I can't watch it. Like I can't enjoy it with the same degree of separation. So I wonder if that's like a component for people, like if the feeling of reality or intimacy with danger.
Sure. Yeah. So Laura's saying no to immersive horror. I get it. I gotcha.
I mean, people love Sleep No More, right? Like, isn't that a big thing?
Yeah, that's totally a thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think Sleep No More is horror, though. Isn't it just a little spooky? I've never seen it. It's too expensive.
I was told I wouldn't.
I don't think you would like it. Make it. My understanding is probably you wouldn't enjoy it.
I think it's horror. I don't know that much about it either, but it sounds like
is it horror? Thing. Well, then I guess so. Next time we go to New York, we should see it, and Laura shouldn't.
Yeah,
I don't know. When I was in New York, I was just like, Sleep No More. I won't see that. It was October. I should have seen it. I'm so stupid, but whatever. Yeah. Yeah, all three of us were in New York in October and not one of us saw it. So
didn't see it.
I'm okay with that.
And we're okay with that. That's who we are. And that's who it is. I did see the iconic Drunk Shakespeare and recommend everyone see that, though. That was iconic. And literally watching it, I was like, oh no, is this my dream job? Because I think it is. But, not spooky. It was they were doing Macbeth and it was not scary.
Macbeth can be
as
spooky.
It should be. Macbeth can be really spooky.
Yeah, I would love to do like,
a real horror Macbeth. Wouldn't that be fun?
There's some fucking witches in that shit. Shakespeare's full of witches and ghosts.
Yeah. I really liked Macbeth. Like, you know what? Macbeth is one of those things where I loved that there were ghosts in it. I was like excited by like the fact that there were ghosts. I was like, ooh, that's spooky, but I knew it was not gonna get so spooky that I wouldn't be able to deal with it. Like
Sure.
So I was like Yeah, when we were reading that in grade like 6, I was like, mm-hmm. yeah, ghosts. Oh, what are the ghosts going to do? Ooh, they're kind of scary. One's a child. Ah.
Yeah.
ah,
ooh. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like a little kooky spooky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I remember one year, Cecilia, you and I and your whole family, we saw Dracula. Do you remember that?
Yes.
At Shaw?
Yeah, in Niagara on the Lake. I do remember that.
That was so iconic. It was one of the, mm-hmm. I really enjoyed good. It. It was one of the most fun things I've seen at the Shaw in a long time.
Yeah.
Because I was like, they're doing something different and they're just having like weird Dracula on stage. I really enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm. You know, one thing that I did get really into that's kind of spooky is Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah, it's so spooky.
Yeah. I was afraid of the music a lot when I was a kid. My mom played it once and I was like,
oh, scary.
Turn that off. So scary.
It's like, bah, 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 bah. Like, it's very a lot.
It is and scary. He's a phantom.
And I did actually end up watching the Lon Chaney version, the mm-hmm. silent film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is spooky looking.
Yeah, I didn't find it scary at all. But like I think that's the other thing is I think I underestimate my tolerance for scary things.
I think
things.
So too.
I was gonna say that.
It sounds like it.
I was gonna say
I
that.
Think that's the case with a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Like some things are legitimately scary, but a lot of things are just like Phantom of the Opera. It's just kind of spooky. Or it has the aesthetic of like ghostly or like scary, spooky, but it's not actually like terrifying. It's not going to freak you out.
Yeah.
Totally. And I'd argue most stuff is in that vein than in like the terrifying vein. Like,
I would like to be able to watch Silence of the Lambs,
mm-hmm.
Midsummer, and I would like to be able to watch Pray for the Devil because my friend's in it.
Yeah.
Oh.
I think those are all doable for you. I'm gonna be honest. I think even the amount that you've opened your heart to things like horror and things like spookiness in the past like couple years, is like you should be proud of yourself because you're stronger than you think you are. But also, you have more like wider interests than you think you do. That's what I'm constantly learning about myself too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, I love that. That sounds great, but I would never have tried it. But sometimes it's something that you're just like, oh, I do like that, actually.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'd say, like, Silence of the Lambs is pretty scary, but the performances are just so good.
Is that it scary, though? I just thought it was good.
It's freaky. Like,
I guess.
I don't know. It definitely is very unsettling.
It's unsettling. And, like, the scenes of Sir Anthony Hopkins are absolutely unsettling.
Yeah, it's very unsettling and, like,
but
creepy.
I like it.
It's really good. And then Midsummer also like really good performances. And I don't think it's that scary as much as it just is weird.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And also just unsettling in the weirdness and like kind of gross at times.
It's uncomfortableness. Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing that would make me feel the most brave in the whole world is if I ever watched The Exorcist.
The Exorcist is scary.
Yeah. I don't think I'm ever going to do it in my lifetime. Mm. Because I just don't know if it's worth it. You know,
I already know enough about it. You probably don't need to watch.
Literally, I've been told the entire plot by multiple people. I recently sat down with someone. I was like, tell me exactly what happens in every scene. And I was like, okay, that doesn't sound good. I don't think I'd like that. Mm-hmm. But I was also surprised at some of the things they said. I was like, that's a scene? There's scenes outside of the house? Like, I had no idea. But I don't know if it's worth it.
That's totally fair.
That would be like the holy grail. Like if I could do that.
If you made it to The Exorcist.
Yeah. Have you ever seen Crimson Peak?
No.
I feel like that could be that could get you somewhere.
Yeah, but don't you think? Good.
I know, but it's like it's in between. It's not terribly upsetting.
It's just kind of spooky.
It's just it looks really good.
It looks bad though.
But it looks really good.
Yeah.
I just like to look at it.
If you want something boring and spooky, you can watch that.
And nice to look at. You can't stress enough how nice it is to look at Crimson Peak.
Very Victorian creepy, but boring. Mm.
That's exactly what it is.
Mm.
Which is why I've only watched it 1.5 times because I just like to look at it. It's
not worth watching more than that.
No.
It's not.
No.
But it is an in-between, Cecilia. Like, it's not terribly scary.
It is an in-between. It's not scary.
If you want, like, a primer of, like, could I do it? It's not a bad one.
Just watch The Addams Family and Addams Family Value.
And the new Wednesday. I finished Wednesday on Netflix.
I haven't seen it yet.
I would recommend. It's cute. It's mm-hmm. cute. It's Spooky River Doll. I wouldn't recommend 1899. It just kind of sucks.
I don't know what that is. Is that
the new Netflix show that it's like on a Victorian ship, a steamship in 1899, and then things get weird. If you don't like living in the weird, you won't like
all
it.
All the shows.
If you don't, I'm not the only person who's seen it. I promise.
Pretty sure you are. No, I'm not.
I also feel like, to my point of like there being so many scary so many beautiful things in the world, right. So many magical things. There's already so many scary things in the world, like true. Real life big scaries, like climate change. And like genocide and like bigotry and like.
But if you don't want to think about those things, you can think about vampires instead. Also, a lot of horror movies have themes.
That's true.
And then you're like, oh, this is about capitalism.
Yeah.
Oh, this you're is like, about genocide.
I get it.
I see.
Yeah. It's just a different lens through which a lot of these same kind of stories. Like, I would pick a horror movie over a drama almost any day.
What?
Yeah. Because drama's not going to make me laugh, and it's not going to make me go, wow. Which almost every other genre will. Though genre is stupid, we can talk about that too.
Mm-hmm.
But that's also, Laura, why I don't like. I'm not good at drama, so I don't take a lot of it in. Like I'm not. Like I don't know. Like it's like, is Pride and Prejudice a drama?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I like stuff like that, like period dramas. I like, but yeah, like any other kind of drama, usually I'm gonna laugh. So I don't get. Yeah. I'm not ready for it.
Yeah.
Like and like other like things that build themselves as dramas. A lot of times I think are funny. Like Succession. It builds itself as a drama, but to me, I'm like that is a comedy. It's an absolute
comedy. I would agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like drama. I'm into drama. I'm into the seriousness of it all. I'm into like the heavy grief of it all. I don't know. I feel very compelled by grief.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I like grief too. Like, but I would also argue that drives a lot of horror.
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you should watch Midsommar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's very grief heavy.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the goths like things like horror. They love stuff like that.
I remember the first time I saw like a goth person. It was in Newmarket. I was like driving home from my grandma's. My grandma's very religious. And there was like a goth person walking down a street in Newmarket. And like they were so like gaunt, and like the way they were moving was so like it was very spooky, like just not quite touching the ground kind of feeling, like
wow. He was a demon.
It could be. Yeah, that's all I have to say.
That's
about
wild. I love that you remember your first goth. No one ever remembers their first goth.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I find also tattooed eye the whites of your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I find that spooky as well.
That's very spooky. I don't want anything near my eyes.
It sounds like it hurts.
I mean, I think I generally find body modification a little bit scary.
I would agree that I think that you think that too. Because Laura recently got her ears pierced. I went with her and she did so good, but she was so freaked out. It was amazing though. You did great. And then amazing.
And the person was like, once you get into body modification, you're going to get all into body modification. You're going to want to modify your body all the time. And I was like,
And I was like, they don't know, Laura. And also, why are they using the words body modification?
Yeah, that's weird.
Getting their ears pierced for the first time.
I feel like getting your ears pierced isn't like, I don't know, maybe you'll just get more piercings on your ears, but.
Like at most, yeah.
I was like
that much of a gateway drug.
Yeah, is this a gateway drug to getting my tongue bifurcated? I don't know. I'm scared.
Maybe.
Honestly, it would be a good look for you, but I don't think you'd go for it. Knowing maybe. You. Maybe. I think you could rock it, but I just don't think you would choose it, you know?
Thanks, Carly.
You're welcome.
I think you're probably right.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So, do you want to do us the honors and ask our last official question?
All right, Laura. Okay. Mm-hmm. I know you don't believe in ghosts.
Yes, but that's true.
Do you think that you have seen any ghosts lately?
Lately?
Yeah. Mm.
Only myself when I look in the mirror.
Mm.
Like when I put on my when I put on my foundation in the morning without having any other makeup, I'm like, ah,
yep,
yeah,
very spooky.
That's about it. No, I don't think I see ghosts.
Nice. It's we have to ask it. We're contractually obligated.
You know what? I think I hear stuff sometimes. Mm. Like
you do?
Not like actual voices, but like
just hearing things. Yeah.
Yeah, like you know, house creaks and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
My brain's always a little like, oh, what is that? So, you know.
That's fair. I think that's very normal.
The fact that my brain goes to a place that, is that something other than my house just creaking? Like, you know, maybe. Yeah.
Well, it's because you have a big, wide imagination and you're such an artist. So your brain's like grasping at like, what's happening?
Yeah. And then I have to put walls up. So I'm like, I don't want my brain to fall out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't want that.
No, it'll stay. I think you'll keep it right in there. I think you'll strap it in. You'll be fine.
Yeah. It sounds like it's pretty secure.
Thank you. I really appreciate you guys and also all your listeners just for listening to my neuroses for like the last my deepest, darkest neuroses. I don't think I'm a very neurotic person. I try to lead with like a very grounded energy, but like we've gone into it a little bit. Thank you for this therapy session. Do I owe you anything? Like
we'll talk about billing after.
Yeah, we'll bill you later. After we'll contact your people.
we'll send it to you.
But you're welcome back anytime to dump more neuroses on us if you want.
Okay.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Carly.
Yeah, Cecilia.
How about you? Have you seen any ghosts lately?
I've not seen any ghosts lately. I cannot tell a lie. I know. Sucks. Okay. Like Bart Simpson, I cannot tell a lie. So, no, I've not seen any ghosts lately. Mm-hmm. But Cecilia, I have a question for you. And it's also, have you seen any ghosts lately?
No. We had a mouse.
You did?
Mm-hmm. The cat... He killed a mouse, I think, because we had signs of a mouse in our closet.
Yeah.
But then I woke up the other day to Anakin batting around a little dead mouse, and it was really gross.
That's really gross.
So that's the closest thing.
Did you take care of it, or did Joel take care of it?
No, I took care of it.
Anakin took care of it.
Like yuck. 7 a.m., and I wasn't about to go wake him up, so I was all right.
Good for you.
We're getting rid of this little mouse. But he was like batting it around like a toy. Oh, so it was like flying up in the air.
It's a toy for him. No. It's fun for him. He's having fun. That's what's upsetting.
I really hope that you have some sort of like spooky Ratatouille ghost who like makes you food.
Maybe
anyone can cook.
So. Maybe that mouse can cook and he's gonna just like. He's going to inspire me to be a good chef, like Ratatouille.
I like that
rat.
Honestly, if ghosts were all friendly, I think I'd be a lot more. I'd be a lot more open. If they were all Caspers, I think I'd be like maybe. Mm-hmm. But
that's fair. Mm. I think ghosts get a bad rap. I think most of the stories we tell are just like mildly chill.
They're usually pretty chill. They just hang out.
As opposed to like, this ghost killed my family. You know, like there's a lot less of that. There's a lot
ghosts
more of like,
usually don't kill anybody.
The lights turn on and off, and I'm confused about it.
They're more just annoying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we love it all. Well, thanks, Laura, for joining us.
Thank you so
much. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. My pleasure. And I really hope I didn't offend any of your spooky listeners.
If you did, that's their problem.
We gave people things to think about.
That's right. And we love to think.
That's just the way my brain works.
Yeah.
Hey, that's perfect. We asked you here because we wanted to hear what you have to say.
We love different perspectives.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
And you've been a long, in my heart, coveted guest. I'm like, we gotta get Laura on the podcast. I have been asking for a little bit. And Laura's like, I don't like ghosts. I have nothing to say. And I was like, okay.
Family have a lot to
like,
say.
Sure. And I was like, great. Yeah, I told you. This is the thing. People don't think they have a lot of feelings about ghosts. And then we get them on here and they talk for an hour.
We always find our friends who don't like spooky stuff, who don't like ghosts, and then they always are so chatty.
So much to say, because nobody ever asks them about it, because they say things like, no, I don't have anything to say about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true.
Guess what? You had a lot to say about it, and thank you for saying it all.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Well, thank you, dear listeners, for listening to our giggles and our ghosts and our talks about buttholes. We always talk about buttholes when we have guests on the show. I don't know why, but we appreciate it.
It just happens.
It's on the brain. Buttholes are always on the brain, you know?
Laura, is there anywhere people can find you or anything that you're working on or have out in the world that they can see or come see?
Yeah, shout yourself out.
Oh, gosh, yeah. So you can follow me on Instagram. That's probably the best way to like get in touch with me these days. My Instagram is laura.m.welch. And I'm working on a project with Carly. It's in development right now, so it's not going to be accessible to the public for a little bit, but it's about fertility and the kind of specter that the fertility and biological clock hang over the heads of people who have the capacity for pregnancy, and also the legacy of fertility in our lives. It is spooky.
It's pretty spooky.
A collective creation piece. It's going to be really rad. Lots of different voices and perspectives on fertility, and it's going to be awesome. I just can't wait till it's done.
It's a super, super cool project. We've been working on it for a while, and
so I'm sure Carly will plug it and let the people know when you can see it.
I will plug the heck out of it, and everyone will have to come see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Awesome. Well, so you can find us at Ghosts Are Everywhere Pod on Instagram, on all the other social medias. ghostsareverywhere@gmail.com if you want to give us some, I don't know, suggestions.
Yes, send us a little stories, email.
Tell a little us love you letter. Love us.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just do it. Why not? You have free time. Come on.
We know you have free time.
It's winter now. You're going to bed at 4 p.m. Mm-hmm. Just give us a love letter.
Going outside. Please. Yes. If you love us, tell us.
If you love us, send us a love letter. Yeah. But until that happens, we'll see you next week.
Mm-hmm. We love you. Stuff.
And we love you. Yeah. This is our love letter to you, so send us one back. Say back. Okay.
Please.
Just say back, okay?
And I love you all, and that makes me feel good about maybe getting in a car crash. So.
Oh, good. We love you too, Laura.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
Okay. Alrighty. We'll see you soon.
Bye.
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 Go, and then I'll count down from three, and then we'll clap, and then we'll know what's good. All right, okay. 3, 2, 1.